Okay, if you have a Bible handy, if you go to Isaiah 53, please. I have an aunt, my dad's sister, Gayen Crosley, who has been fighting a five-year battle with cancer. And yesterday morning early, she finally gave up that fight, and she is with Jesus now. And praise the Lord for that. Isaiah 53 says in verse 10 that it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And I was meditating on this passage in light of her death and asking myself this question. Why second? Why not just the first part? Why did God kill his son? But then, I think we all know that, what needed to happen, sacrifice, but why the suffering? Why in the world, like if I was to give up my firstborn son, and I had to kill him, I would make it as quick and easy and painless as possible. But why suffering? And why this five-year journey for her? Why not just quickly? What's the Lord doing? And I'm a lot of people can answer this question better than I can, but I have four answers to this question that I believe the Holy Spirit reveals to us through Scripture, and I just want to take a few minutes to unpack those if we could. Suffering for Jesus. He was called in Isaiah 53 a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Suffering for us, he says that in this world you will have many troubles, many trials. But fear not, I've overcome the world. It's a promise for us entering into this life. If you take a right and go to Hebrews chapter 2, I'm going to look at a few different passages here and get to my first point. Number one, suffering at its core helps us. In Hebrews 2, starting in verse 10, says this. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect or complete through what he suffered. And verse 11, so important. But the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Suffering at its core helps us become holy. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is true. But we do not live holy lives all the time, if you haven't noticed. We do not live set-apart lives all the time. And suffering is used to break the outer man and break through that the Spirit of God in us might live out more fully and completely. It says he was made perfect through suffering. Jesus was perfect, but it really means he was made complete in his suffering. And so you and I are helped in this journey of holiness through what we suffer. My Aunt Gay changed from day one of cancer to 5 years later when she died of cancer. She was made holy through this. Her attitude changed. Her language changed. Her perspective changed. It was really a beautiful thing to watch in the midst of the devastation that was happening to her body. Suffering comes in and helps us in this way. In verse 17 and 18, point number two, for this reason, verse 17, Jesus had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Number two, suffering helps us to identify with Jesus, our merciful and faithful high priest, who now, because of the benefit of what he went through, he wasn't just killed, he suffered. Because of the benefit for us is that now Jesus comes up in our suffering and our weakness, and he can walk alongside us. All suffering, internal and external. He walks alongside and he can empathize, and he's a merciful high priest to us because he knows our weaknesses. Suffering helps us in intimacy with him. It draws us close to him. If you go to your right to Hebrews chapter 5, number 3, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, in verse 7, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who would save him from death, and he was heard because of reverent submission. Verse 8, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. The suffering that we go through helps us learn to stop disobeying the Lord, which in some cases is a large part of our suffering. Definitely not always, but sometimes we suffer because of our disobedience. And the Lord actually uses suffering to help us stop suffering, right? The small shot with the medicine is better than the big surgery with all the pain after, right? He helps us learn to obey him. And Jesus even, it says, as a man, amazing thought, learned obedience through what he suffered. And we, like him, learn completeness in obedience. And lastly, if you go to your left in Luke chapter 9, this gives us a pattern for the Christian life. And this is really, I think, important for us to get here, to have an accurate perspective on suffering. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, and Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Again, there's three points there. He suffered and rejected, he's killed, and he's raised to life. Come back to my first question. Why number one? Why not just killed and raised to life? And the answer comes right after this. I was asking myself this, and then I just kept on reading. The Bible answered itself again. Then he said to them all, verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple or be like me must deny themselves, one, take up their cross, two, and follow me. You see the correlation there? Suffering and rejection is equal to us denying ourselves. Taking up our cross is equal to what Jesus says, he must be killed. And then following him is when he says, raised to life. We follow him in resurrection life. His life within us, raised to new life. We walk in resurrection life. This is the pattern for how we live as Christians. He says, you cannot be my disciple unless you first deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You must lose your life to save your life. And so all that comes against us is painful. Remember Hebrews chapter 12 says, it says that no suffering, no discipline is pleasant at the time. It's painful. God acknowledges this. But then he says he disciplines us for our good, so that we might share in his holiness. Suffering makes us holy. Suffering helps us identify with Jesus. Suffering helps us learn to obey. Suffering gives us a pattern for the Christian life. And so nobody likes suffering, including Jesus, who says, if it's possible, please let this cup pass from me, right? Paul was like, please take this thorn in the flesh away from me. Job says, please take these sores away and stop killing my family and taking my wealth away, right? Andy and Emily Brickley are like, please don't take our daughter away. She's got cancer 5 years ago. This really hurts. Please stop this. Jim Poffenbarger is like, please take this pain away. John Smith, please take the pain. We pray and Lord, do it. But aren't we so happy that God did not give Jesus what he prayed for in the Garden of Gethsemane? And aren't we so happy that Paul then wrote those epistles from that place of pain and says, my grace is sufficient. And aren't we so happy to see the gold that was produced in Andy and Emily's life? And so I can name everybody, every single person in here. Your character is developed through suffering. I read this week that suffering is the fertilizer for the roots of character. So praise the Lord for it. It hurts. I get that. But may we lift our eyes to see what is the Lord producing in this, in me right now. Everybody's going through it. Praise the Lord for the gold he produces, though. Amen. Bless you guys.